So,
excuse me.
I did this work when I was doing a stroke outcomes fellowship with the American Heart Association under the guidance of Barbara Vickery at UCLA. And the project took about 3 years. And these are some disclosures and funding sources. Of course, Rick Marr at UCLA was a huge partner in this. So a little background, Koreans are actually the fourth largest elderly Asian American subgroup in the U.S. And compared to the U.S. as a whole, where stroke is the fifth leading cause of death, it's actually the third highest cause of death in Korean Americans. And Korean Americans have an increased prevalence of stroke at TIA compared to Caucasian seniors of similar age, but tend to have higher proportions of risk factors such as hypertension and smoking and diabetes. There are some reasons that Korean seniors might be more vulnerable to stroke, and some of these include financial barriers. About half the elderly population receives public assistance, and a third lack health insurance, and language barriers. In some limited studies, they've seen that half of all Koreans in the U.S. speak English less than very well. And this can significantly limit the efficacy of the physician-patient relationship. So there have been very few studies that have been undertaken in this particular ethnic group in the U.S., but those that have shown some interesting findings. Stress is most frequently identified as a stroke risk factor, and those who are highest at risk for stroke tend to have the lowest stroke knowledge, which is concerning, so seniors with hypertension. And there are many noted sort of cultural misbeliefs that have been reported, such as cold weather being a stroke risk factor or hand tremors being a stroke symptom. And there are some stigmas attached to illness in the Korean population, the Korean senior population, such as illness maybe due to bad genes. And especially in an aging population, Korean seniors are especially afraid of being a burden to their families. So we decided to go with a community-partnered approach for this project, really believing that in this community, you know, we needed to be culturally relevant. Stroke-related health beliefs, of course, impact behaviors. And in order to change those behaviors, we have to know what they believe. And community insight makes interventions and evaluations more relevant, more effective, more sustainable. So we had three research aims. Our first was to first get a lay of the land, so to assess what Korean American seniors knew about stroke risk factors, symptoms, and response. And the second aim was to explore beliefs and experiences with stroke and cultural ideas of illness. And the third was to use the findings from these first two aims and with the engagement of a community advisory panel to design, implement, and evaluate a culturally tailored stroke education intervention for Korean American seniors. So the overall study design had four parts. The first was to establish a community advisory panel. The second was to design and conduct a survey to sort of assess the baseline level of knowledge in Korean seniors. The third was to explore those beliefs and cultural perceptions of illness and personal experiences by using focus groups. And the fourth was to develop and implement a stroke education intervention in a community and to assess the short-term effect of knowledge on knowledge after 3 months. So the first step was to establish a community advisory panel. This process took over a year, and it was mostly me just calling and getting referrals from other people. But I managed to put together a great group, 7 community leaders from Greater Los Angeles, and this included a lawyer, a physician, a pastor, an advertising executive for the American Heart Association. And we had bi-monthly face-to-face meetings from August 2011 to June 2012. And we had frequent email/phone meetings after that. And the responsibilities of the panel was really to ensure cultural fidelity, to make sure that everything that we were doing was culturally relevant and acceptable to Korean seniors. They assisted with recruitment ideas and reaching out into the community to sort of validate our project. And they provided expertise on unique aspects of Korean American culture. The second step was to understand the baseline knowledge. So we used a convenient sample of Korean speaking seniors in Los Angeles. There were 64 from an adult day healthcare center and 98 from a Korean megachurch. And we asked 6 open-ended questions in Korean to understand range of opinions on stroke. These questions include things like, do you know what a stroke is? What does a stroke look like? Do you know how stroke is treated? Where do you get your health information? And we also looked at demographics and their comfort with the English language. And the results of that study, the mean age was 75 years, and there were 69% female. And not surprisingly, the majority lacked knowledge about risk factors, symptoms, and response. And we found that cultural remedies were not infrequently offered as stroke treatments, such as herbs and bloodletting. And over half of the group that we surveyed were uncomfortable speaking English. So we then went to understand a little bit more, get a little more in-depth knowledge of their cultural beliefs about illness and stroke. And there were we conducted 3 focus groups in community settings. There were 29 Korean seniors who participated in total. And we created a focus group discussion guide with the help of the community advisory panel. It was based upon the health belief model. And we also wanted to get a sense of what the education intervention would be that they would prefer. So the key finding from the focus groups were that the mean age was 80, 62% female. And their perceptions of stroke and illness in general actually centered around religion, attitude, and lifestyle. And major emotions expressed were fear, anxiety, and fatalism. And when we asked them what kind of intervention format they preferred, they said, you know, something bright, a visual presentation in a community setting that's local to them, and they wanted specifically a Korean-speaking medical professional. So these are just some examples from the transcripts of the focus groups. Bloodletting, and this is, he shattered the back mirror, and he used the shattered glass pieces to take out blood, and he took out blood cutting anywhere. That one was especially telling because when that guy, so his wife was having a stroke, and he smashed the mirror while driving her to the hospital and cut her arm with a shard of glass. She was bleeding everywhere. But when he got her to the hospital, the doctor said, you know, good job, meaning, you know, I think they meant, like, good job getting her to the hospital. But unfortunately, that got translated around the community as good job for cutting her arm. So focus on positive thinking and wellness. So one person said, if you're weak, your illness grows bigger. You need to exercise frequently and meditate. And this was a sort of common thread. And there was a sense of anxiety and fear about stroke. Somebody said, I really feel like stroke will happen to me. I feel dizzy and depressed. So we also used these elements, things that they said and the preferences that they had. And these are the things that we used to direct the design of the intervention. So we wanted to use positive language and imagery, emphasize wellness, stress reduction, and stroke prevention, and make the nutrition section culturally relevant because a lot of people talked about food, and hold in locations convenient for Korean seniors. So we created an intervention. It was a 1-hour slide presentation, and we focused on 5 aspects of stroke knowledge: risk factors, symptoms, the appropriate stroke response, acute stroke treatment time window, and acute stroke treatment. So these are just some examples of slides that we used during the presentation. We made it culturally relevant. We tried to find pictures that looked like them, use food that they would recognize. And we also gave them a couple of other items. We gave them a 1-page handout reinforcing all the stroke information we had taught during the intervention. We also gave them a medication wallet card to carry with them. And we used a tote bag to reinforce messages. And this is kind of a great example of the work that the community advisory panel does. So this is a picture that I drew myself, and I thought it would be great because I'm like, oh, they look Asian and it's stroke symptoms. I was going to put it in a big tote bag. But it was astonishing how violent the response was to this bag. They were like, if you make this bag, they won't carry it, so don't bother. So this is the bag that we came to together, which was positive, happy, focused on wellness. So we used a stroke knowledge tool that we designed ourselves because every validated stroke tool that I showed to the CAP, they did not like. So we created a 5-question multiple choice survey tool to assess those 5 aspects of stroke knowledge. We used a mixed effects model with subject random effects that allowed for missing data. We had 3 dichotomous variables, and we had 2 continuous variables. And overall, we had 257 intervention participants. They were given the identical one-hour slide presentation given by one of two Korean-speaking health professionals, and they were given the other items. And overall, there were 78.4 was the mean age. Years in the U.S. was around 24 years, and 66% female. So of those who participated in the intervention, we had 223 people fill out the pre-intervention survey, 234 fill out the immediate post-intervention survey, and 102 showed up for the three-month post-follow-up. So overall, for the results, knowledge increased significantly from pre to immediate post for four aspects of stroke knowledge: symptoms, stroke response, treatment time window, and treatment. But unfortunately, there were no knowledge gains sustained at 3 months, and there was no change of score over time for risk factor knowledge. And this is just a pictorial representation of the difference. And these were statistically significant increases immediately post-intervention. And then for risk factor knowledge, again, there was no real change from baseline to post or to follow-up. Limitations of this study is that a one-time intervention was likely too weak, even though we tried to reinforce the knowledge with the information sheet in the tote bag. We didn't collect data on the extent of the usage of the tote bag or the knowledge sheet. And because the CAP was really insistent upon us using a new survey, we didn't have time to test the validity of this tool, and it was actually really difficult to evaluate. Lesson learned: do not create your own survey. And also, we did have a substantial number of subjects that were lost to three-month follow-up. So in conclusion, you know, there are multiple cultural misbeliefs of stroke among Korean-American seniors, and we need to be able to capture, address and capture the impact of the intervention on these misbeliefs themselves. This education intervention did broadly increase stroke knowledge immediately post-intervention. And, you know, we need to look into how to sustain that knowledge with newer interventions. And overall, community-partnered methods will be essential to interventions like this in the Korean population. Thank you so much for your attention. I just want to point out Barbara Vickery, my main mentor at UCLA. She's down at Mount Sinai, and she was really amazing, and, of course, my community advisory panel. Thank you so much.